Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I think as the conversations went and we talked more and more, no. I think, you know, there's a ton of reason. Stephen's already touched on it. You know, the continuity through change. I know the players. I know the building. I know our strengths. I know our weaknesses. I know our issues. And the more and more we got into conversations, sitting around and just discussing different things, I want it even more. And here we are.
Let me say this. We wanted Brian to call the plays. We cherish his relationship with our players. We want him to call the plays. As my mind and our mind would drift around to alternatives, I believe, he doesn't have to speak for this, but I believe if he doesn't call the plays, he probably not with the Cowboys. He doesn't have to speak to that, and he probably might not know himself, really. I'm not talking down. But I know one thing, one of us, I think Jerry, said, have you ever thought about that if we've kind of gotten over in this area of potential head coaching with Brian? To some degree, the conversation he's referring to. And Jerry said, you know something, if we went that way, as much as we've gone down the path, there'd be some heartbreak here. There'd be some knock the slats out from under. I'm just giving you an idea of how the process was going as we were looking at alternatives of the other people that might be coaching the Dallas Cowboys and Brian calling the plays. So having said that, just to give you a little bit of insight, Brian, I'll tell you this. My lifelong dream was to get involved in sports and pro ball. And my master's thesis was the role of oral communication in modern day football. Had I not had that dream, had I been sitting there, I was 46 when I bought the Cowboys, had I not been sitting there for 25 years, every moment, thinking about, my God, I'd watch that Lamar Hunt and he'd be up there with the Chiefs. While I was doing that, the same mind would come home from college and go out in the backyard with a stick and a ping pong ball and play a complete World Series by myself, hitting the ball over the fence. So that dreaming, if you hadn't dreamed about it, if you hadn't gotten ready to go, when that damn train comes by, you'll be grabbing air on that caboose. You have had to have thought and pictured yourself that way a long time, or you'll miss that damn train. You will. All of this was in the mind. That's all of this was there. And why is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Jerry, Tim Kalashaw, Dallas Morning News, back here in row three. Appreciate the shout out earlier. Having said that, you know, since your last NFC championship game, this is the seventh coaching hire you've made. That's a unique situation among GMs. Others do not get that luxury. How would you tell the fans again how this unique system is working?
Well, it makes it unique because I've been with the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys have had seven coaching hires, and it happens I've been here for those seven coaching hires. I'm not so sure, you know, average time a head coach coaches in the NFL is about 3.4, 3.5 years that they coach in the NFL average time. I'm not for sure what it is with general managers. It could be less or more than that, but it's a big turnover, especially the last 10 or 15 years with you're there, okay? And if I could ever think the story I just told Tim, I lived. I got up and I went to work and I lived on that hope and that promise. And I had a lot of gas. And my point of telling the ping pong ball and bat story was, I can live in those dreams. And I live real good there. But I'm practical enough to know you can't eat those dreams. So you got to go put some hard, hard action to it. Life is real. But boy, those dreams are real there too. I'm dreaming of the Cowboys playing in a game like the one I saw last night when the Eagles were sitting up there with those Chiefs. I'm dreaming of it. I will always dream of it. I've never quit dreaming about it. I want that.
Jane Slater, NFL Network. Jerry, to a lot of us on the outside, it did look like this process took a bit. What was the reason for that? Was there a point during your conversations with Mike that you thought that he would stay? Was there something that came up in those conversations that you needed a change? And what did he say or some of the coaches that you reached out to give you confidence that this was the guy that you needed, particularly given some of the criticism about some of the decisions and the coaching in recent years?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I wasn't aware of any clock. Where's the clock? There are a hell of a lot more important things than a clock. Take a long time to do this. How about the timing to do that? If I'd have screwed around with clocks in my life, I wouldn't get to be sitting up here. And by the way, you say, well, if you'd watched the clock, you wouldn't be sitting up here explaining why you hadn't been to a playoff game in all those years, too. I understand. I get it. One of the fun things about this deal is you get to start a new clock every time you line up for the year. And so I really can block out, not block out the practical things, because I don't care if it is the new year. If they're about to take your house away, that'll go from last year into this year. So there's reality that goes with it. So at least I'm sitting here because I know how to deal with reality. Okay? And so to answer that question is simply, it never occurred to me there was a clock at all. When I was trying to buy the Cowboys, I think I did read someplace. Tim, you might have remembered or what have you. I read someplace where that process and all that was going on was maybe creating some time problems relative to the clock of the NFL or the clock of that. I've really not had the experience of that being the determining factor. I heard this year that we didn't get Dak signed quick enough. Dak, you're sitting right back there. You want to stand up and tell him you had something to do with that?
No, thank you.
Didn't get Lamb signed quick enough. Okay. There's so damn many more things to think about than that clock. It's unbelievable. So I hear it, and I understand the point. But I think it is fair to say that that clock doesn't affect me that much.
Coach Schottenheimer, I love the way that you've reflected, you've sort of manifested how you want to get there. We know that Dak's big on that as well. How do you want to be remembered when you leave the Dallas Cowboys one day?
Number one is a champion. And number two is someone that created one of the greatest cultures professional sports has ever seen.
Ed Werder, WFAA, back here in row four next to Kalishaw. Back with the Dak Prescott delegation. Brian, my question is, Dak's missed a large portion of two of the last five seasons with injuries. It's going to be, I think, 32 when the next season starts.
He's a young 32.
What's your vision? You talked about how important the quarterback is, all of you have in these kinds of decisions. What's your vision for him going forward?
I think when you talk about Dak, number one, I've had the best seat in the house for the past couple of years in terms of The first year, year one as a consultant, watching. Literally, I remember the first day I was in the building, he came up and introduced himself, said hello, and we were just talking, and people that we mutually respected, and we talked about that. But, you know, being around the last couple, you know, years, my vision for him is he's one of the best. And through the coaching that he's going to get, through the hours and hours and hours of time that he and I will spend together, he's going to play elite level football, and he's going to lead us to championships. And that's because of the way he works, the way he prepares. This guy prepares different. Ed, he does. He prepares different. This guy, I'll be coming down late at night and trying to get something to drink, and I just have to move around because my eyes are bugging out from watching video. And he's still in the building doing his, I guess it's hot, cold therapy, whatever that is. I don't do that. But we got the right guy. And working closely with him and these other players, we're going to win. And we're going to win a championship. Otherwise, why are we doing it?
Dak, you're sitting right behind Edward there. Reach up there and squeeze him on his neck and show him what a little problem is with your health. Feels like.
All righty, we're out of time. And thank everybody again for coming. Thank Jerry, Brian, Steve for being up here for over an hour.
Big day.
We'll continue with some of the other things we're gonna do after this.
There you go, Dallas Cowboys head coaching press conference right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. You guys had a lot to say on YouTube, Twitch, and the fan text. Let's talk about some of the things in the presser, the good, the bad, the caboose of it all, next on The Fan.
Mahomes still has it to the five and in for the touchdown. And his worst pass of the night is on the spike attempt.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We have a lot to deconstruct from that presser. Plus, we've got a Joan Jett and Billy Idol ticket giveaway in this segment. We'll do some Mike Likes It. There is a lot there coming off Championship Sunday. And I know a lot of people, it seemed like feedback-wise, Twitch, YouTube, the fan text, 877-881-1053, Franklin Injury Attorney text, got irritated specifically when Jerry talked about, I was watching those games yesterday. I want to see us there. I dream about that with Philly, with Kansas City. Corey, I'm going to let you start because I do have one thing that I really like from the presser, but I have some other things that I did not care for.
I want to be very clear about my direction with this. I think, and I hope, I think Brian Schottenheimer is a good dude.
Yeah.
And I hope that he can build something special.
Agreed.
I hope that things don't get in his way. The minutiae of the organization doesn't get in his way of trying to achieve what his dream vision is for this team. And I think every coach that's tried to do this has had a vision and then stubbed their toe along the way with things that have gotten in the way. Sometimes the environment itself just is not conducive to it. So I want to be clear that while I like Schottenheimer a lot, I have a lot of concerns and questions, and none of those can be answered until game day. Like, we have a whole summer, a whole training camp. None of that stuff can, all the stuff that Jerry just said, you can't prove wrong until training camp. So that's kind of where I stand with this right now is, I knew what he just gave you, what Brian Schottenheimer just gave you in this press conference was exactly what I told you the other day is he's going to win these. He gets up on the podium and starts talking and you're going to go, man, I like that guy. He's got something about him. He's got good stories to go along with it. He's got this, you know, he tells a story about his dad. You hope for something like that. You pull for something like that. But right now, the way that the team is currently constructed, they have too much work to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the work that Schottenheimer has to do now with adding an offensive line. He's got a whole coaching staff he has to configure And then they got to figure out what free agents they got to work through. And that's reliant on a front office that I don't have a lot of faith in right now.
That's a great point because there is a lot of things. But there's one specific thing that came up that I was like, I don't know if I agree with how you're using that terminology then. Jerry essentially said, and I realize some of these things we're going to be paraphrasing a little bit as we work on turning some of that audio around. We are good at managing the salary cap. We just haven't really taken advantage where we've had some struggles the last couple of years. Guess what that means? That means you're not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If somebody applied for a job with you that they used to be really good at, but the last couple of years they weren't good at it anymore, they're not good at it. And that's how you would take it. The other thing that Stephen Jones said, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I understand why it happens. I think the Jones family in this organization does a disservice to the new head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, or whoever you think it will be in the past or in the future or whoever it was in the past. I think they do a disservice by sitting next to that head coach and answering questions as well.
I don't disagree.
Because the things that Brian Schottenheimer was saying, I thought were relatable, especially when he dared to start to dive into specifics, talking about motion and other things that he would want to do in his offense, which, you know, usually you don't get that at the introductory presser. But when Stephen Jones said Super Bowls and conference championship games or the drought that people say we're in.
He air quoted it, Kevin.
Nobody says any of that. It's a fact. You haven't been in an NFC championship game in what will now reach 30 seasons. That's not what people say. That's a fact.
I believe that's 16 more seasons than anybody else in the NFC.
Exactly.
The Bears are at 14.
And by the way, if Washington and Detroit were to play in next year's NFC championship game, I believe that means every single team would have been in it twice since you were last in it once. Those are the kind of things that bother me.
That's not a drought. Like, yes. That's a famine right there.
Yes. It's the eighth longest run in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Just by the way, if you wanted to know that.
That's what we're asking you to fix.
And so I really don't like the air quotes as if that's not something people should care about. Because then they pivoted immediately from that to, do you know how historic the three seasons were before this last season? Tell me about it. Because it was all regular season success.
Mm-hmm. That ended in playoff loss.
And that's great. If you want to go and start hanging those banners, because those are the only banners you think we can hang, then rock on. Let's just be very clear about that. And then I know people are caught up about the X's and O's don't matter. That will come around. I understand.
Can I go back and comment on? I agree with you. I prefer if Jerry and Stephen came out and said what they said and announced the coach
and then
got off the stage and let Schottenheimer take the stage himself. Yes. That's never going to happen. That's not the approach this organization has because they want to be able to give their answers and get in the way because they know the media is going to want to ask these guys questions more than they're going to want to ask the head coach. So now once we're gone, we can't answer questions. So that is frustrating too because it doesn't look good for him.
So, by the way, let us know the other positive things that you had out of the presser. Because I'm going to tell you, I pointed out that I like how Schottenheimer gets into specifics. And if you don't want to hear the negative, then these next couple minutes might not be for you. Because I got a couple of other bullet points that really, really bothered me. When Jerry Jones talks about this is as big of a risk as you could take because Brian Schottenheimer doesn't have head coaching experience. No, no, wrong, wrong. Who are the two of the hottest assistants out there? Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. They got hired. Maybe they succeed. Maybe they fail. I have no freaking clue. But nobody said, wow, what a dangerous decision it was to hire Ben Johnson because he has no head coaching experience. Because guess what? He doesn't.
Now, Liam Cohen's a different story.
Yes, that I can see. Because Jacksonville, who knows? Yeah. Jacksonville's going to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with Aaron Glenn. It's not that people are concerned that you hired a head coach that doesn't have head coaching experience. It's that you hired the one that nobody else wanted. If you hired Ben Johnson and said all that same stuff, I would be like, I hear you, man. Mm-hmm. He has no head coaching experience. It's a risk, but I feel like people are on your side. And if it didn't work out in 4 years, I would be like, for sure.
There's definitely
who you should have hired. It didn't work out.
There's definitely a wave of excitement that comes along with him.
Yes. The concern here is that it's a big risk because you hired somebody that nobody else wanted to be the head coach, and you didn't interview any of the other candidates that the majority of the league wanted as their head coach. Does that mean they're right? Of course it does not. But it doesn't help perception. And then with the Super Bowls, we got into this LeBron-esque thing where he said, we're going to win one. And then Jerry stopped and said, the first one for daddy. Like, what are we doing?
He was saying...
Talking about Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer. Of course, gotcha. Yes. Okay. Good clarification.
When I heard him say daddy, I was like, hold on.
Talking about Marty Schottenheimer. Like, I hear you, rock on, and I also hope that Brian Schottenheimer wins 8 Super Bowls in a row. But if you haven't been to the conference championship game in 30 years, I'm not talking about being in the Super Bowl. You haven't even been in the game that you have to win to get to the Super Bowl where you could still potentially not win the Super Bowl. So don't give me the first one. Stop it. And then, sorry, Corey, if I'm monopolizing the microphone. Sorry, Mike, I'm sure you have thoughts as well.
No, okay. I'm okay.
When Jerry said, this is the biggest risk, or he's taken the most risks in the last 5 years compared to most of the rest of his life, tell me any of them. I have heard the story about how nobody believed in him when he bought the Dallas Cowboys, and he damn sure is right about that. And the good news for Jerry and the Jones family is you've made a minimum of a $10 billion profit. So good on you. That's one thing that you absolutely got right, the hiring of Jimmy. But give me an example. You talk through in minutia about that buying the Cowboys. Minutia again and again and again. But when you say, I've made so many big risks in the last 5 years, give me one. Any, when it has to do with the team.
So let me throw them out because I bet this is it. Kellen Moore, letting him go.
Okay.
Letting Dan Quinn go.
Okay, great.
That's all I can think of, Kevin.
And look, that's all I'm here for, some specifics, because there are way too many generalities. And Corey, I want to take a step back and point out, you're right. You could say whatever you want in that press conference. That doesn't win you one single second of one quarter of one football game. But this is all I have to hold on to.
Today was their opportunity to get you the information about the guy that's going to be in charge so that you can start having the conversations through the rest of this offseason after the Super Bowl. They'll get their coaching staff finalized somewhere in March. And then they'll start the draft. And that's when we get to gripe about the draft and then recycle this and all the things. Nothing can be answered. And Kevin, here's the other thing. You think Dak's playing any preseason football games this year?
No.
So you're going to go through another preseason where you don't see anything.
No.
Because they got to protect the quarterback that might get hurt.
Absolutely. When the Jones family talked about some of the good things that Coach McCarthy did. Like what? Like his offensive philosophies. Like what? Just give me some specific, any specifics. You can't just say he did. Well, I guess you can. You can do whatever the hell you want. But just to say he did some good things. I just want specifics. Give me specifics about things that you thought McCarthy excelled at that maybe you can capitalize on. Because that's all fans have to hold on to right now. His concepts of ideas, if I can steal a phrase. Because that's all we have to hold on to right now. And that is really, really frustrating.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever Jerry says, look, other coaches that wanted this job have told me you're that close. Well, I mean, they're obviously going to tell you that you're that close because they want the job. That's one thing. You have been that close. But you've been in, like, tier three of people that close. You kind of thought you were at the top of tier two.
Yes.
But you actually, when you go back and look at where you've been in tier three of this. You've just been fortunate that your division was poor and an up and down Philadelphia Eagles team. And in that time, you haven't captured that opportunity.
And I don't know how many job interviews you guys have been in.
All of them.
Okay. But one thing I would say in a job interview is things that would help me get the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jerry...
I've watched every single game in the offseason.
Yes, I love analytics. Oh, wait, just kidding. when Jerry said he talked to so many people who wanted the job, who talked about how close the team was, well, what else are they going to say? Because I would love to see that job interview where the person walked in and been like, you know what, Jerry, I think we're a long ways away. And I think one of the reasons is because you continue to meddle in the process. I bet that guy doesn't get the job. And I get it. It's just words. This is not going to change anything. But I really would have liked it if Jerry was like, I talked with four different people who said, I don't want the job, and here's why.
Yeah.
And we need to correct those things instead of...
You know, we recognized a trend.
Yes.
In every single one of these coaches that we tried to talk to, there was a trend that... But everybody they tried to talk to seems to, except for a couple guys, seem to be in-house.
Yes.
That are gonna be like, look, we've been, I know how to get by in this thing. You just agree. But we found out what's wrong because we saw three coaches said it was this. And another coach says, yeah. So we're going to work on that. That's something, like, I would love for that to happen.
I want to.
Listen, I'm always hopeful. I'm hopeful that all the players have heard the noise. Because, you know, they always like, oh, we don't listen to the noise. No, listen to it, man. You need to hear it. I hope all the players have heard that. And I think that Schottenheimer has this. I have so much to prove. I have so much to prove, and that is going to keep me from sleeping because I have work to do on this team. Like, that's the mentality I want from this team. Is it not? We have not arrived at anything yet. Go at it as if you are the worst, and now you got to climb your way all the way to the top of this thing. That's what I'm hopeful that we get out of Schottenheimer, is that pursuit of going up that mountain every single time.
I know I said some positive, but that was a lot of negative. And one of the reasons is every single person in this room doing this show right now was born and raised in the Metroplex.
Yeah.
And we all either did or still do love the Dallas Cowboys. And this is why I go back to the words of today, because if anyone wants to push back and say words don't win you a football game, you're absolutely right, about 1,000,000% right about that. But that's all I feel like I'm just speaking as me, as a fan. I feel like that's all I have to hold on to right now are words. And I was hoping that we would like get some stuff today that would make me be like, you're damn right. They saw all of the mistakes. They know all of the mistakes. They know all of the places that they've gone wrong. But instead, what I mostly heard, not necessarily from Schottenheimer, but from Jerry and Steven, was, we're the best. Do you know how many people tell us we're the best?
Mm-hmm.
So why would we change anything?
Yeah, being a kid that grew up in East Dallas, I remember at the last Super Bowl, I was having to do a band event for band in high school at Bryan Adams High School. We had to go to somebody's house and perform. And ooh, I got back in the third quarter. Like, so that's what the last thing I remember of Super Bowls is the last two quarters of that Super Bowl right there. And that 3-year span, Kevin, provided me the idea that action creates excellence, and that you can have the words, like Deion had the words, but he also had the action. Michael Irvin had the words. He also had the action. Troy Aikman didn't talk enough. You know, he didn't talk much. He didn't need to, but that dude had the action to go with it. So that was the excellence that I set that stand, that my mind set that standard for, was you just keep pursuing that kind of excellence. And then there's been a massive dip through that time. I do feel that that pursuit happened again and that they want to. They just don't know how a lot of times. And that it kind of tapers off when you from the top are not getting somebody that's demanding from you.
Can I tell you something? I'm worried that that is not right. I'm worried that they do know in certain areas. And they're like, but that's too much, and we're not going to do that. Like, I would weirdly.
That's going to cost too much.
Yeah.
It's going to take too much work. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a progress stopper for somebody. There's always something that's a reason that they can't do something.
I would like weirdly prefer it if they just didn't know, because then maybe Schottenheimer will come in here with his new ideas and they'll be like, oh, wow, that actually does make a lot of sense. I will tell you for the record, we're going to do this segment tomorrow. Essentially, the hire's been made, the presser's taken place. Now, will you give Brian Schottenheimer a chance? And we can move to the next page. I find myself angry in the moment.
I mean, I have no choice but to give him a chance.
Yeah. Like, I mean, don't give him a chance, well, it doesn't matter.
If I want to, if I'm going to follow this team, I have to give the coach a chance, and I'm going to sit there and watch it. But again, I'm starting with him at flat.
Yes,
I'm trying not to start at man, he's the worst because I've never seen him as a head coach, and I'm also not thinking he's the best. So from there, he gets to make those little deposits in each one of those banks, and we'll see how it wraps up.
I'm going to try to turn the page on all of this. And somebody said from the 817, can y'all focus more on Schottenheimer and how he answered his questions instead of harping on what the Jones family said? So there's two things. First of all, a lot of his answers did include some vagueness about the reason why I'm great for this job is because of the relationships that I can build with people. I did like the specifics, how he talked about Pete Carroll and other coaches that he learned things from and why he's ready for the opportunity now as opposed to then. But he did speak in a lot of generalities which come along with this presser. And the other issue is, and this is what it comes back to, is Schottenheimer can say all the best things in the world, but if the people flanking him in that press conference aren't buying into it and they're going to continue to do whatever they want, what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The part of him bringing up his dad, that connects with a lot of fans out there.
For sure.
Like a lot of fans that have lost their father or spent time around them. I mean, hell, Kevin, whenever we sat down with him at training camp a couple of years ago, first thing he starts talking about is, guys, every freaking Saturday, my dad would get me up and drag me to the golf course and we'd go play golf and I hated it. But then afterwards, he always took me to get whatever ice cream I wanted. And I realize, and I love this part about it, I realize at that point, he just wanted me to be around him. I think as dads, we get out of that experience. I'm like getting ready to lose Avery to college.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, crap, how do I make these other like moments happen before he goes off and I don't see him anymore? Those things are the qualities, again, that I think you'll like about him. But we don't know anything about his head coaching style. We don't know anything about how he's going to manage the rest of his staff either. So those things are all, this is the part of hiring a new head coach that is exciting and terrifying all at the same, risky, if you will, as Jerry said, risky.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and no, he did not quit. He is still here. It's time for Mike Likes It.
All right. Boy, I like that press conference. It only drained me of all my energy.
Then let's go to the next thing.
Okay, so let's go to the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, I was out Thursday and Friday, had a sore throat and not feeling very well. But guess what? I did watch you guys a little bit on YouTube.
Okay.
I didn't join the random chat, even though I have noticed the chat is a lot of hate for the Dallas Cowboys today.
Yikes.
So I was listening to you guys talk, and this was after the Oklahoma City win, right? This was Friday, yeah. I was listening.
What an unlikely win that was.
Shocking. I have no clue how we beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, but nobody else. So the Mavericks, 19-10 going into Christmas Day. That's the game where Lucas starts off super hot, but gets hurt and he's been out. During the Boston game, I don't know if people were watching it Saturday or not. It was an afternoon game. It was a nationally televised game, ABC, ESPN. And they mentioned that Luka's update is maybe he can play before the All-Star break. But they're like optimistic that he might be able to play before the All-Star break. But it sounds like maybe after the All-Star break, maybe he'll be good to go. At least that's the update we got a month later, right? January 25th, a month after the injury, he was going to be reevaluated. And he's reevaluated as he ain't close. But maybe in 10 days, maybe he could play a game or two before the All-Star break. Well, when I was listening in court, I'm not trying to pick on you or anything. I thought you had a very optimistic view on the Dallas Mavericks.
Yep.
But in that game, they were like, man, the Mavericks are 5-11 since that injury.
Yeah, they got
and now they lost again, right? So they are 5-12 since Luka got hurt. And I don't know how it stops. Now, tonight, they have a super boring game that they need to win.
Against the worst team in the league.
They're playing the Washington Wizards. And then they go to New Orleans and play on Wednesday. those?
The Wizards have the two longest losing streaks this year, by the way.
Independent of one another.
It was 12 and 16 at one point. Yeah. It might be even longer now.
So. They have to win these next two games. If Corey, you're going to be right, mm-hmm. and I hope you are. I just want to make this clear. I hope you are right about this, is that they're 24 and 22, barely surviving. Yeah. Here's the great news. A lot of teams around them aren't playing very well. If you look at San Antonio, you know, teams that I was like, crap, man, by the time we get to the All-Star break, these teams are going to be above 500 and the Mavericks are going to be at 500 or below. But luckily, they're in this jumble of like 5 through 11 seed that nobody wants to play that good, whether it's the Lakers, Phoenix, Dallas, Sacramento. Yeah, Sacramento got off to a horrible start, so they've played better. But if you kind of look at this jumble of teams, the good news is they're all meandering around 500 or barely above. But I don't know how the Mavs get out of this situation of losing two and winning one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, Corey, I'm kind of asking you, maybe Mike ask a basketball question here. How do the Mavericks, to you, get out of losing two to every one win that they've been doing for a month now?
Well, I think there are other teams that'll lose three to every one, and that's good. That's a benefit right there. The other part is, and I think, Mike, if you remember correctly, I said, I don't think they're going to be a top three seed by any means. Right. They might just get, I'm hopeful that they get lucky and get in the play-in, maybe, and then like that would be okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic fight. But I think it's because there are more teams that are likely to be as bad as that while the Mavericks get healthy. And once they are healthy, they're phenomenal. So that's my expectation. Now, granted, I don't know about the health of Luka because we're still awaiting some thoughts on that.
And now you lost Kleba too, and for whatever it's worth.
Lively's injury is concerning. Yeah. There are some things to get the run going that would have to be patchwork. But I just have a little more positivity about it.
All right, so this is going to be a weird one. I think the most important player for the Mavericks until Luka comes back is Spencer Dinwiddie and has been.
Oh.
He is either horrible or then really good. Like, how did you beat Oklahoma City? All of a sudden, Dinwiddie, who's been playing like doo-doo pretty consistently, then had a great game. And I know that Kyrie's going to be good to great somewhere in that. It's rare. He'll have a bad game, sure. But it's rare. But Dinwiddie, he's the dude who I look at and go, God, when he stinks, we have no chance because he handles the ball so much in this system. Yeah. He's a bad defensive player, so he can't help you out defensively. But I feel like the next, I don't know, seven, like there's going to be probably another seven games without Luka and the rest of the season without Lively. I look at it and go, is Dinwiddie the key to winning and losing games? As bad as that sounds, because you have Kyrie who's better. You have Gafford who's better. You have PJ Washington who's better. Clay's a weird one. Like, Clay doesn't.
Grimes is a role player who's not, you know, they're.
But like, because Dinwiddie has the dang ball so much, and they seem to want to run Luka's system through Dinwiddie, which is weird to me.
Yeah.
And I do really like Jason Kidd. Do you think that would
change whenever Exum gets back and is like clearly healthy?
I don't know because he hasn't practiced all year. He hasn't played all year. Like, how much can you expect from a dude who in a high cardio situation has very little cardio? You know, like it's going to take him three weeks of playing basketball in the 10 to 15 minute range of per game to maybe feel like then he has the cardio to then be a consistent player. And he was inconsistent last year. We liked it, but he was inconsistent. And then you mentioned Maxi Kleba. I think his career's over. He has one more year, and I'll say this, God bless him. He made a great career out of being a non-drafted dude, a dude who was trying to find a role. He found a role. He could give you 15 minutes of like role play where he would help out your team in a way. But at this point, I think his injuries, and what do you know? He got hurt again. I can't believe it. It's over.
He did.
Like, it's his career's over. Nobody even guards him on the other team. That's the thing that stinks is they won't guard him. And so then he's forced to shoot the ball, which he's like, I don't want to do this. And then he shoots it. And then you're like, well, I guess he missed again.
So I wanted to take a step back on Luka. I haven't seen an update today, and if it's out, I apologize for missing it. I do know that the Dallas Morning News, I believe Mike Curtis or Brad Townsend, reported that he got another MRI on Saturday, just because that was part of the natural, right. Like, we'll progress and we'll check again. And so hopefully we'll get information maybe today that kind of like narrows in on what they're thinking time wise.
Okay. So that's kind of my Mavs thing is I did watch him against Boston, and shockingly, I can't believe they won against Oklahoma City. I'm glad they did.
You know what, too? One of your points about that, I know it's more than just this, but in that game against OKC, Dinwiddie was 3 for 6 from three. And so, like, that, and he shot really well against OKC from three, or shot better from three. And so that is something that I looked at after you said that.
He's confusingly the most important player until Luka comes back because of his inconsistent play and because of how much he touches the ball. So we have a minute or here. We have 1,000 commercials to get to because of the press conference. Real quick, I'll throw it to you guys. Dallas Stars, they played hockey.
Yes, they did. Okay, thank you. They did play hockey, and they won twice. You know, we talked about that three-game spread because you're going to have Las Vegas again. We talked about would love to see them come out with at least 4 points out of the possible six. Boom, right out the gate. You beat Vegas, you beat St. Louis, and then you've got Vegas again tomorrow. So you've already got the 4 points, and shout out to Casey DeSmith putting together that shutout. That St. Louis game is probably one, if you're just looking at control of the puck, flow of play, shots on goal, that's not a game that they should have won. But Casey DeSmith was awesome in that game.
33 saves in that game. Might as well go ahead and replace Otter at this point.
I mean, I'm not going to say that.
Oh, you want a guy that gives up goals? This guy doesn't give up goals in this game.
You know, that's a good point. If I can get that Casey DeSmith, hell yeah, we'll roll him out a whole lot. But that was awesome. You got a couple of big wins. You play Vegas again, and if you can get another point out of that, let alone two, that would be fantastic.
I would just like to give a shout out to a baseball coach at Bishop Lynch who says we need to talk more Stars, and I said I know nothing about the Stars, but I just did it for you, Bybee.
You're welcome.
Jason Robertson scored 2 goals in that game against Vegas. It looked like it was going to be like a 6-6 or 7-7 game early in that game, but the Stars take the lead, 2 goals from Robertson. They end up holding on for that win, and tomorrow is going to be another really big game for them.
All right, great news. If you don't like Mike Likes It, we have a lot of commercials.
But before we get to any of that,